participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 876-36 from D.C. on WJFK. 1067, and from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Can we just go back in time and restart the show? I don't know what happened to all those tapes, man.
It was mighty confusing.
I thought it sounded good.
They're all out of order and everything.
Huh.
Yeah, hey, Rob, just let's do it. Just hit the re-cue.
Yeah, we're going to start over again.
That's a good idea.
I mean, that
is a very good idea.
I don't know. The tapes are all out of order.
We can fix this.
Okay. Yeah, hold on.
Right,
give us a second just to work on this. This is our think music. We're thinking now what's wrong with the tapes.
Hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like match game music. It might be. Today we might be playing the match game, Mike.
Hey, how about that?
I mean, we might be. I announced it yesterday.
Yeah.
Listen, I know this is unprofessional, but I don't want to start the show off all screwed up like a car wreck with like 8,000 things happening at once.
I understand, Dave.
There's an order to this madness, damn it.
Right.
Well, all right, I got another time waster here. Hold on a second.
There you go.
Grandpa, this banana's fantastic.
Okay.
There you go, Charlie.
Okay. Now let's try it again, okay?
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636 from D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067 and from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Have I told you you're my favorite? Banana's fantastic.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, now that we're on the air officially.
Yeah, we're on officially now.
Hi.
Who's the man who is responsible for that mess?
There he is.
Thank you. I love the accolades. And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Let Me Get Safe and all the ships at sea. They'll F ye till you love them, faggot. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Thursday. January 24.
Yay.
You just heard the tape of the lasers with the phone numbers. From anywhere in America, you're hearing us live. That would be D.C. and New York and Portland and Spokane and Las Vegas. And
Los Angeles.
And no, not yet.
All right.
And virtually everywhere in Wisconsin. For whatever reason, we got Wisconsin.
Who needs
covered.
L.A. when you have Wisconsin?
We got Wisconsin covered like one of Michael Jordan's condoms.
There you go.
Louisiana, wherever you are. Seattle in an hour, 877-365-3636 from D.C. on our home station, WJFK 202-432-1067. And here in New York from our second home, WNEW, 877-692-1027. Well, the lead story today has to be
John Walker looks like Oski.
No.
All right.
You're fighting gutter balls.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Came through.
Wow.
Big victory for the gutter balls.
An incredible victory last night at the Port Authority Leisure Time Bowling Lane.
Grandpa, this banana's fantastic.
That's it. Eat it, Charlie.
We do have to tell you something. Now, we got some bitching to do.
Yes.
And the bitching that we have to do is not towards the Port Authority.
No, they could not have been nicer, especially some of the good gentlemen down there that work for the Port Authority Police Department.
Right. But we do have a bitch with the Leisure Time Bowling Alley Lane thing that we were bowling in last night.
They could not have been less cooperative.
God, what a-holes they are. Here's the deal. We're there. We're bowling. We arrive, and there is, I'm not BSing, a pretty large crowd of people who are there. I mean,
waiting to observe us bowl and heckle us, which they often want to do.
And they got, I mean, some of them got signs. Some of them are standing there. They've got music and CDs. And these are the good, loyal people who listen to the show every day.
Absolutely.
Come out. And what they do is they want to watch us bowl. They want to give us a hard time. And we like partying with them. And it's great. As soon as we arrive at the bowling alley, they say the only people allowed inside
are people that have reserved a lane.
Yeah, are people that are actually bowling.
So
now we get in there, and I mean, this place is gigantic, and there's plenty of room. There are. I'm not kidding. There are 50 tables for spectators.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of room,
but they're not letting anybody in.
I think that they're concerned about the riffraff.
So apparently, even before we had arrived, we had listeners who were showing up, and as they tried to walk through the door, the security Nimrod there would say, are you bowling? And they said, no, we're here to see Don and Mike. You got to leave.
Yeah, but it didn't matter that they could certainly go into the bar and drink the Leisure Time Facilities booze.
Right. So what we ended up doing before we first we bought everybody drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There was a bunch of people there, and what we do, we laid some dough on them, and we said, listen, we're sorry that you guys can't get in.
Right.
But here's some money. Get drunk.
Yeah, and I gave my money to like an 18-year-old kid who said, I can't drink. And I said, well, give me that back. And then the kid was complaining about giving it back to me, so I gave it to an older guy who I hope was there to see us. Otherwise, he had a nice little windfall.
Now, I think all the people in the bar there were there to see us. And
yes.
I know that at one point, being as we had to pare it down to, and this sucks, too. They would only give us one lane to bowl on.
Well, yeah, because these a-holes on the lane to our right wouldn't move.
And a CM next to us wouldn't move.
And a dozen lanes went unused.
Found
the
wah!
Oh, now you've come around on the CM now.
Yes, absolutely.
Now that you've been burned by the CM.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, there's this Chinese or Japanese chick, and what appeared to be her father, sitting next to us bowling, and there were like a million lanes that were open. And Rob very nicely tried to ask them, hey, would you mind moving to one of the lanes that's not being used?
And they very impolitely said, no.
I asked them to relocate. I said, we'll pay for the duration of your game if you could just relocate to another lane. No other lane. League play.
So then we go to the people who run this place, and we say, look, there's like 13, 14 lanes that aren't being used. Can we play our game against the Cosells there?
Right.
No.
Cosells.
Those are league lanes. They're reserved for league bowlers, even though the league hadn't shown up.
Right.
So we end up with only one lane. We can only bowl three on a side.
Yeah, and so we had to pare down our team. Buzz, of course, doesn't enjoy bowling, so he immediately volunteered to take a break.
And Buzz spent the majority of the time
drinking martinis in the Leisure Time bowling alley bar.
In the Leisure Time bar with the listeners.
With the listeners. I did about 20 minutes of stand-up, sang some of my favorite songs, and took requests. It was a great time.
I had a very nice time. I spent, before we bowled, about a half hour in the bar with all these people, and one of the people who was there was the guy Mike, the guy who won the Mercedes-Benz.
Yes. Very cool.
And it was nice to see him, and without getting into all the details again about the thing, it was nice to get the story from his perspective.
I agree.
That he never wanted, as I was told, never wanted to pay
right.
the extra money for the better car that he won.
Of course not. Sure.
You know, he said, well, without getting into a lot of details, they and you can discern whoever you think they are, they kind of backed him in a corner and said, listen,
we need this money. You got to pay this money.
I had a chance to talk to him. I will say he is very happy with the car. He loves that car.
That's
He's glad he has it.
No, I got that from him as well.
And originally
he was going to give it to his dad as a Christmas present or something. But now that he's got the better model, it's his car.
Well, I wish we could have hung out a little later with everybody. You guys were so hot to trot to get going.
Oh, Mike, okay.
Oh. I don't understand.
Listen, last night it was the night of mood swings for Mike. Let me just say that. At one point, Mike, while we were bowling, no one guards their privacy more than Mike.
Yeah, this is true.
Even when we had the weathercaster on last week and we were saying what towns we live in, which, it's no big secret, Mike even guards that and you just give a county that you live in.
Yes, a quadrant of the state.
So,
Virginia.
All of a sudden, out of the blue last night while we're bowling, Mike screams out to someone, our address of our apartment building in New York.
Yes, I did.
And very loudly. And I turned and I said, wait, what are you doing?
What I'm doing is I'm not drinking. I'm not thinking right.
I said, you give it out.
I'm not thinking clearly.
I said, you give it out our address.
I'm not normal.
You're giving our address out.
I'm trying, but I'm not normal.
Then he tops it off. He says, not only that, I'll tell you my apartment number.
And I gave him my apartment number.
And he gave him his apartment number.
And about 30 of them came back to the apartment last night.
Great. So,
on
one hand, that's one side of Mike, okay?
Right.
That he was having such a good time that he was giving out, as it turns out, our home address.
Yes, absolutely.
Unfortunately, he didn't give away my apartment number, but he gave out his address and his apartment number.
I could have.
Then on the other hand, there was the Mike that we encountered as we were leaving last night.
Yes, I was anxious to go.
And
I wasn't feeling well, Dave.
We all, we wanted to stop by the bar and spend some time with the people who had been nice enough to wait the whole time. And you were in a hurry to get out.
Yeah, I was. I was.
A little bit of a scene.
Yeah, I made a scene.
That I don't know how many people saw.
I think a lot of people saw.
Oh, no.
Scene between Mike and Lisa.
Yeah. Saying, I want to go now!
He's kind of screaming.
Yeah, I was anxious to leave, and, I apologize.
He's not feeling well.
This death grip has been hanging on, and, of course, I'm withdrawing from Paxil now, so...
I didn't see it. I was standing in the bar talking to these guys, and one of them came back and said, hey, have you seen what's happening out there? And I said, what, like some major event? That Mike's out there screaming at Lisa.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, I wanted to go, and since I'm not drinking and enjoying the festive evening that everybody seems to still be enjoying, I guess I'm a little more anxious to depart at the end of the evening of bowling. And I still have this little death grip that is hanging on here, and I also I'm withdrawing from the Paxil. So the combination of fact, those are my excuses, and I stand by them. My excuses. I do hope that sometime by mid-March I will be back to normal, drinking heavily, not wanting to leave. I sleeping over at the Port Authority.
It's a lovely facility.
It is a lovely facility.
Like the old days.
All I know is it was the many moods of Mike.
Yes,
and it was from being so happy and so overjoyed that he's giving out his address.
Yeah.
To then on the way out, when all we want to do is stop by the bar to say thanks to him, he's like, no.
Right.
Must leave now.
Well, I basically did one tour through the bar saying hello to people, and I did it much like Rodney, where I'd say, hey, yeah, how you doing? Yeah, great. Hi, great. Yeah, fine. Hi, yeah. Hey, how you doing? Hey, fine. Hey, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah, fine. Hey, yeah, fine.
Okay,
fine.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey there, Goose and Tex.
Hey, who's this?
Joe, how you doing?
Joe, hi, Joe.
I'm doing all right. Mike, man, that was me. The dumbass 18-year-old.
Oh, the guy that I gave the money to?
Yes.
And then you were regretting that you gave it back to me, right?
Yeah, I wasn't, like, bitching at you to try and, like, get... you to give it back.
No, I understand what you were saying. You were just saying you were kind of crazy for handing that money back to me.
Hint, I kind of hope you do next time at Bowmore, but, thanks for, I want to thank you guys for at least signing my sign. And
I'm glad you caught me at the happy part of the night.
That's a good thing you didn't catch him at the end there, Joe.
I was nice to everybody except Lisa.
Actually, I did see the end. The nice little lover's quarrel between Mike and Lisa. That was pretty funny.
Well, it's all based on sexual tension.
I'm calling for Lisa to sign my poster, and I'm like, Lisa. And then she's like, Mike, let's not discuss this now. I'm like, whoa, all right. I turned around, man.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for coming out.
Glad you were able to see that.
Sorry, Joe.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you for last night.
Oh, who's this?
This is Angelo. I was the guy with the hat on backwards.
Hey, well, that guy. Like, there weren't a million guys there last night with their hats on
backwards. I remember you, Angelo. You were a nice guy.
Yeah, guys, I mean, I felt bad and everything that we couldn't see it. You know, I really wanted to see the game happen, but I don't see why they were complaining. I mean, there was plenty of room over there.
There was.
Yeah. I know, but Angelo, were you able to drink?
Oh, yes.
Good. Yeah. You know, we figured that's the only way to really make it right. I mean, all the people came out and...
Except for that one guy that I gave the money to because he was underage. And he was very honest about it, too.
That's good.
So well, he wasn't able to enjoy the alcohol.
Well, I'm sure he could have had himself a nice Sprite or something.
I think he was
like
having himself a nice Coca-Cola.
Soft.
Well, I just wanted to say also, Buzz, now that I know, next time, when you guys are up in New York, I'll bring you that little something-something.
I have no idea what you're talking about,
thank you,
sir.
Thank you.
I'm sure you mean
a
well.
A couple of people got through the security cordon and made it over to where we were bowling.
Hey, what about that one guy? His brother comes up. This guy, he looks, I mean, he's a dead ringer for Emmett Smith.
Right.
And he comes up to me and he says, hey, Don. And I say, hi, how you doing? He says, I brought my kids. And he's got three kids there. And he's got four kids. And all of a sudden, he says, they want to sing for you.
And they sang a Beatles classic.
They sang Can't Buy Me Love.
Wow. And it was wonderful. The young girl was so adorable. She was singing with such joy.
It was like one of those old-time street corner thing, like a doo-wop thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And today, that is not sweat coming off an Italian guy, doo-wop. You know, they're doing the Can't Buy Me Love. And I don't know why.
And you were in the middle of it.
I don't know why I'm getting the command performance.
And I right. came over as soon as I heard them, because you know how I love the singing. And I came over, and there they were, and then you proceeded to go out and bowl, and you didn't do too well, and you called it the curse of the singing children.
Oh. Right. Oh. That's what you get for being nice with kids. Yeah.
I know. I mean, you know, I wish you could be nicer to people.
The news is, ladies and gentlemen, the losing streak is over.
Yes, a fine victory for the Gutterballs last night. The pared down Gutterballs.
Now we had to end up going 3-on-3.
It was like the Pro Bowl.
Yes. So here's a shock. Buzz didn't make the cut. And we wanted to be fair with Lisa, so we did rock, paper, scissors.
Buzz voluntarily bagged out of the competition.
We did rock, paper, scissors, and Lisa was the loser in rock, paper, scissors.
Well, you, myself, and Rob all did rock, and Lisa did scissors.
You never lose with rock.
No, gotta go with rock.
I mean, that's the easiest game of all. But Lisa was telling me that if she had put her hand out or something, that...
Paper covers rock.
But anyway, it just seems to me, it's always been dumb. Paper, rock, scissors.
Right.
You just smash someone over the head with a rock and you'd win.
No. Right. Rock beats scissors.
Scissors.
Paper covers rock.
Right, and scissors cut paper.
And scissors cut paper.
If you can smell what the rock is cooking.
Well, so you see, you don't automatically win by throwing out a rock. We could play it right now and tear it down.
But if I'm in a fight, I want a rock. I don't want scissors or paper.
I want a rock.
I want a rock.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but you're interpreting the game incorrectly.
As always. The point, though, ladies and gentlemen, when it was me and Mike and Rob, we in fact did defeat the Cosells.
Colin Cosell, cool. Justin Cosell, and their wacky friend Wally.
348-320.
Yeah, we eked it out. It was a very close competition.
And I apologize because I think that lane was warped. There was a million strikes that all of us should have gotten, but I was really, really dead weight.
It was
last
difficult.
And this guy, Colin Cosell, is he on the line now? This guy, he cracked us up. I mean, he didn't mind the fact
that we were
all talking like his, as he calls him, Papa, Howard Cosell.
Right.
We heard stories about Howard Cosell telling the grandchildren bedtime stories.
Wow. Very, very funny.
And that got us on a roof. We started going, three little pigs.
That's right. And he upped, and he puffed, and he blew the house down.
Porridge, hot, cold, in the middle, just right, the bears, home. Oh, no, girl, in the bed, what will they do?
Who's been sleeping in my bed?
A man of ten, totally devoid of a heart.
And then Colin was discussing his papa, his grandfather, having sex.
Yeah, well, that's a bit that Colin does, apparently.
That's Colin's thing. That's not. Well, here he's. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Howard Cosell's grandson, Colin Cosell.
Hello, Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi there. Sorry that you had to go down to defeat, but we had.
If there's anyone I can be defeated by, let it be Don and Mike. You know, and as long as I've got, you know, these haunting images of Rob Spiewak doing Not by the Hair of My Chinny Chin Chin, he even signed my shirt. Seven tiny men in one house.
Yeah, Rob was, we were signing shirts at the end, and Rob took like a half an hour to sign one shirt. It was incredible.
And how did you spell house, Rob?
H-A-U-M-O-T-S.
Of course.
That's right.
It's a German fairy tale.
House.
That's what we're doing. What Here house? They come, one at a time. Sleepy, Doc, Grumpy, all of them with a one woman, the tramp named Snow White.
And I will tell you, Colin, you impressed me by your gay dance every time you would bowl a strike.
That was my next thing I was going to talk about, because my strikes were just super.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Colin had a very gay dance.
Yes.
It happened once. It was spontaneous, and for some reason, Mike was actually watching when it happened.
Yes, I was, and I noticed the hands going up in the air.
And he said, Colin, that was a mighty homosexual reaction there.
Mike was commenting on it before you landed.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was right on it.
But then Mike, to back it up, went up there and started doing, I mean, the gayest things I've ever seen in my life.
Was that incredible? Yeah. Did you like those feet up in the air?
The air you got, you were like...
I'm a delicate big man.
You're like, time to be safe, Jordan.
Let me just say, it was gayer and gayer, the relationship between Mike and Colin.
Yeah, well, he's dreamy.
And Mike is a fine POA.
Thank you very much, Colin. I appreciate it.
Oh, come on, guys, please.
Sorry, guys.
The next
thing you know, one of you is going to be saying this.
Grandpa, this banana's fantastic.
Did I tell you, you're my favorite?
So we had a great time with
you. I had a great time with you guys.
And Justin, who is the other Cosell grandson, and then Wally Sparks, who was just a wild card.
Yeah, very
and,
much so.
Couldn't have had a better time. And Colin was telling us some great stuff about his grandpa.
Well, there was the one with the, can you get me some Malamars and a cup of milk? We're out of milk. Get me a cup of milk.
Not taking no for an answer.
And forcing him to watch the Yankees.
There you go.
And
the Yankees are down by six runs, Pop. They're going to win. You wait and see. And then they'd win. And all right, I'm going to bed. Go milk a cow. We need milk.
And then the one that Colin can't tell on the radio, but where he describes his grandpa, Howard Cosell, having sex.
Yes, this is just a shtick. He never witnessed this, I don't believe.
It was funny, though.
Yes, no, I never witnessed it. You know, I mean, growing up, he was an older man at that point. I care not to think of it. Yes, when I was younger, I used to do the image. Oh, I am gonna, you know the rest.
Yeah, there you go.
I am going to, yes, it's happening, yes.
The explosion of man juice is incredible.
Colin,
there's some on your hair.
You know, the first time he called, we didn't believe he was Howard Cosell's grandson.
No, it was 15 minutes of screening before I got on the air with you guys, and then 15 more minutes of screening on the air.
But it was great to meet you, and great to meet Justin, and we want a rematch where we can get the 5-on-5 together, and I think that in unison we can say F you to Leisure Time Bowling Lane.
Amen.
And to the CM, of course.
Yeah, and to the CM next to us.
And I've got to give mad props to my homies that while I'm sitting there at the computer trying to figure something out, the computer, you know, the lane all of a sudden died out on us halfway through. That was another thing. And then all of a sudden I turn around and you've got the doo-wop clan right behind you. See, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I hear, boom, 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 can't buy me love. What the hell is going on behind us?
You never know what's going to happen when we bowl, Colin.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, they've got like 50 lanes, and they've got us on one lane,
right.
For whatever reason, the one lane that we're bowling on, right. It breaks.
Yep.
In the middle of one of my frames. What happened is they paid for a game. They didn't let us have any practice. We took some practice. And so when the prescribed number of balls had been taken, out went the lights.
Jesus. I mean, they could not have screwed us anymore.
It's like putting money in a parking meter. Yeah.
And we had a warped lane. We had the DACM next to us. what are you doing? Oh, we practice for next league. The league's starting. Oh, no, we practice for other league. Well, which one of you is in the league? Only one of us in league.
And then did you notice the move when the one CM gets done? the next one comes in.
Oh, yeah.
It's like her twin sister comes in and takes her shoes off, and she starts bowling.
And, boy, did they shoot us some dirty looks. I think they did. It was hard to tell through their eyes, but I think they shot us dirty looks.
Colin.
And really, most importantly, they wouldn't let anybody in
to watch.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
You know, they didn't mind the fact that they were spending our money at the bar drinking,
right.
But they didn't want them to come in, and that's the whole point of getting out of the
bar. We're very disappointed that happened to everybody, but we'll make arrangements at another facility
next
time.
We'll do it again. Everyone will, you know, we'll actually be able to drink and relax. I have about 80 new gray hairs after last night. But,
we got to say, the Port Authority police could not have been nicer to us.
They were very nice.
There were some wonderful guys down there.
Hey, listen, and not only did we get nice hats and pins, but they supplied us with the much-needed courtesy card. I don't know what the hell you call that thing, but all I know is I got one for me and one for my wife, and God knows we can use them.
Excellent.
What does it do?
We're not sure.
I believe it's the thing that if you... the way it was explained to me by the officer who shall go nameless was that if you're pulled over, you give them the card and you say, my brother-in-law is on the force.
On the job.
On the job.
On the job. And then what they do is they say, well, fine. You know, I mean, unless you're driving down the road with Nicole Simpson's head in the passenger seat, they say, go ahead.
But you can still get away with it.
Go away. Yeah. Okay, OJ. Colin, good talking to you. Hold on.
All right, guys.
Hold on. We need to talk to you when you're done. Hold on
you
a second.
See you in about a month, I guess.
Well,
I look forward to that rematch.
Yeah.
Thanks, Colin.
Goodbye.
The Co-Cells. The Co-Cells.
That was a good time. They were really good folks.
Yeah, they were. Everybody was very nice. All the people who came down were great.
They were.
The only dicks are those dicks at that goddamn bowling alley.
I don't know why they had to make it that difficult. I mean, it really was. There was no reason for it. And as Colin said, everybody that he dealt with down there was very, very difficult.
Yeah, they were all just real ass wipes. You know, I mean, first off, we're bowling in a bus station, okay? So it's not like we were expecting the greatest, most fantastic bowling experience ever.
Right.
But actually, the lanes were quite nice.
Yes.
And unlike in previous years, and I'm talking when I used to live here over 23 or 4 years ago, the Port Authority, I think you could generally walk in and out without fear of either stepping in man poo or...
They've cleaned up the Port Authority, and that's due in no small parts of the Port Authority police.
Yeah,
they've done a fantastic job. It's a good place to hang out.
You won't get killed going in there.
And a great statue of Gleason.
Yes, Jackie Gleason, put up by Nickelodeon, I believe.
TV Land,
all right.
So kudos.
Sorry, guys.
Wow. Get the facts right, Mike.
See that violent reaction there?
No, TV Land.
So anyway, serious watchers jumped on me there.
Yes, thank you to everyone who came out last night. Sorry that you couldn't get in. That just sucks on ice.
Yeah, it was great meeting everybody.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Don, how are you? This is Mike, actually. We met last night at the bowling alley. I think I'm the only person that got in.
Oh, are you the guy?
I had a fire department hat on.
Gotcha.
Yeah, nice. I remember you.
Yeah, I just, you know, flashed the courtesy card and I got in. I'm sorry I couldn't hang out too long, but I just wanted to come in and cheer you guys on.
No, so this guy, at one point during the guy with the little kids who sang, he got through.
Right.
So at one point this guy says, hey, Don. He puts out his hand and he says, hi. And I'm talking to him. I said, how did you get in? And he has on an FDNY hat.
Right.
Well, now, brother-in-law, that's why.
Yeah. Not even, it looks like a knockoff hat, like one of them that you buy on the street. Mm-hmm. And he says that they let him in because they think he's a fireman.
There you go.
Right?
I just flashed the courtesy card, just like they gave you.
Oh, is that what you did? Okay, all right. See, I had thought it was just the hat that got you in.
No. I showed him the card because he wasn't going to let me in, but I said, you know, I'm just here to hang out for a little while.
Those are
handy. Let me in with no problem.
The courtesy card, yeah, and I got one for me and one for my funny, cunny honey. So
did I. Laura, it's coming home.
So we're set. Hey, nice meeting you, my friend.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys, and I love the show.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out last night. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Mike Tyson.
Hi, Mike Tyson.
Hi, I heard you were talking about me yesterday, and I'm coming down there later.
Okay, actually, Mike Tyson is coming down later to be on the show.
Yes, I'll be there.
Yeah, okay. Very exciting. Look forward to it.
I will be there, and I don't want to see any rectums.
Okay, well, F you until you love me, faggot. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I was there last night at the Lane C.
What?
Remember I came up to you with my wife? It's D.
Stop it.
What, is this a D's nuts call?
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, man.
Oh, come on. That's so weak. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
The sharp ones are out today.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to spread some sunshine in your life. I thought I'd bring you some good news regarding Glenn the Janitor and why he can't win your Las Vegas-style show.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen to your opening announcement from whoever the guy is that tells about the rules of winning
contests. That's right. If you've won a contest in the previous 30 days.
Right. 60, I think.
Is it 60? But anyway, Glenn the Janitor's not going to win because...
you can't win!
I'm pretty sure that the letter that he has sent in is the one about the lesbians and the New England Patriots, even though a guy called in and claimed...
And the naked actress.
...to have written the letter. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a big scam. But, yeah, no, you're right.
He probably hired that guy. Now, I haven't won a prize in the last 60 days. I was wondering if I could win something.
Well, send a letter in. I mean, if you want the Las Vegas-style show at your home.
I just win a regular prize.
A regular prize?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, this is not the Salvation Army.
Yeah, give us a break here. Come on.
Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
hello.
How you doing? Hello.
Hey, turn your radio down, please.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Hey, are you guys coming to Connecticut? I must have missed something, but are you guys coming to Connecticut yet?
Yeah, we were supposed to go to Connecticut to bowl, and then the Rip Van Winkle Lanes, that's the name of the place, they couldn't accommodate us.
In Norwalk, right?
Yeah. I think we're coming there, not next time, but the time after.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool.
All right, thanks, my friend. What?
Who are you going to be bowling?
I don't know.
We're going to be bowling my mother's team.
I've only got this stuff 1 week in advance.
Mary O'Mara's 81-year-old bowling team.
I can tell you that the gutter balls will continue our bowling excellence next Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
When we take on the Turd Cutters.
Ah, the Turd Cutters. Fantastic.
The action gets underway at 9 o'clock next Wednesday night at Chantilly Bowl America.
This is a team that's very near and dear to Lisa's heart, right?
A bunch of Lisa's friends.
It's pronounced Chantilly, Don.
Bowl America is located on Stonecroft Boulevard in Chantilly, Virginia. For directions, call 703-830-2695. Go Balls. Go Mighty Balls.
Yay, Balls.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. All right. That's fine. Be like that. Go ahead, you be like that. But yeah,
People.
Did we say, we did say thank you to the police, because not only did they give us the nice hats and the cards, but they gave us the pins.
Yeah, I mean, they really loaded us up with stuff, and we love that stuff so much. We love the police paraphernalia. We really do.
And the hat, what's good is, I mean, here's what's bad. What's bad is that we're really, from the Port Authority, I was told there were 13 or 14 officers who were killed on 9/11 who worked out of the Port Authority.
Right.
But what's nice is that the hats that we received were authentic from the Port Authority that had, you know, stitched on the back 9/11.
Yes.
So that was a very nice remembrance, and we thanked them for thinking of us.
Yeah, and I hope we communicated that to them, how much we appreciated that gesture. We really, really do. You know, you can take the courtesy card out of the equation, but the fact that that's presented to us by actual Port Authority police officers means a lot to us.
Genuinely nice
being. But I love the card, and being as I drove to New York this time, I'm going to be using the card.
Yeah, you're going to be driving up one-way streets and everything, just holding the card out the window.
See sidewalk. Everything like you driving on the sidewalk, Jack?
Absolutely, Jack.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Don?
Yeah.
What's going on? This is Barry from Baltimore. What's going on?
Hello, Barry.
How's everything?
Okay.
Wanted to know if you guys are doing any gutter ball action around here.
In Baltimore?
Yeah.
With
some respect, there's nothing to do in this place.
You know, I think all you got to do is call Lisa, and we certainly could go to Baltimore.
I think we had a game lined up against the Bassettes.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hi, how you doing, Barry?
Marty Bass's team.
Yeah, the Bassettes.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'll let you talk to Lisa. She does all of our scheduling.
It's either the Marty Bassettes or the Don Scott Five.
That is if Lisa has recovered yet from the emotional scarring from the incident last night with Mike.
I spoke with Lisa, and I passed along my condolences for my behavior. That's the way I can put it.
I'm in the bar, but I'm just talking to these guys, having a drink, and saying, hey, great you could come out. And I told you, the one guy comes in and goes, oh my God, you see what's happening outside? I say, what? Mike's out there screaming at Lisa.
Wow. Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry.
It's got okay.
A lot of fun going on.
That's okay. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
You hear that?
You hear that?
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hello.
Yeah, I have a quick question.
What?
Yeah.
I have an audio sound I want to send Don and Mike.
An audio sound.
Oh, well, first you're talking to us, D.A. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
I have something I want you to listen to, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Well-prepared caller.
done.
It was Elmo.
It was good from the very beginning.
Great call.
And it got better.
Great call. Hello, Don and Mike show. Elmo, that makes me think of Rosie O'Donnell, which makes me think... You're the one who told me.
Yeah, I was watching Rosie yesterday afternoon because I didn't go out of the apartment. I was kind of vegged out yesterday afternoon. And Rosie has, they do this close-up of Rosie. She says she has athlete's nose.
Oh.
And, what they were doing is they were zooming in on her nose, and you see this cracked, disgusting circle around her nostril where she's got, according to her, athlete's nose. And then she's looking at the audience like, does anybody else have athlete's nose?
Now, here's how you get athlete's nose.
Ow.
As far as I can, since it's a fungus.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay, it's foot to mouth.
Right.
That's got, I mean...
Foot to mouth, to nose, to vag, anus.
There might be other stops in between.
Oh, I'm sure she's a chronic picker.
The non-stop flight would be...
I don't doubt that she's got the big oversized panties when she's lying around her home.
Would be...
plenty of room to reach in.
That's a great picture.
Foot to nostril area.
Not just foot. I don't think she's got the flexibility to grab the foot.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the fungus areas are probably somewhere else. Somewhere easier within reach.
You like
probably,
the vag?
Yes. She's probably constantly scratching and picking.
I think if you laid Rosie O'Donnell down on a bed...
It would look like the guy on Operation.
...that she probably could lean up and scratch her feet.
Well, she's going to pull her foot up towards her...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
she probably smells her feet, too.
And here's what I think. As someone who... I've told you myself. I suffer from athlete's foot.
Yes, but you've never had it on your nose.
No, and here's why. I scratch it with a pencil.
That's right.
Okay, what I do is I take an unsharpened pencil...
That's right.
...and over my...
That's why the unwritten rule is don't chew the pencils in the Geronimo household.
I use a see like these. I'm always carrying around pencils that are unsharpened.
But that's not why you have them in the studio. I hope.
No. I use them in the studio just like it's a baton.
Like Johnny.
Yes, just to make a point. But I got a ton of these at home. Here's my thought though. If I scratched my athlete's foot with my finger,
yes,
with my hand. The only reason I could think that she would have it on her upper lip would be if she's going up going...
Yeah, she's smelling her fingers.
Let's be honest. Who does, on occasion, among us, who hasn't... Well, Rob, I don't think it has anything to do with oral.
Can it transfer between two people?
No, I don't think so.
Listen,
oh, that's goodness.
This is mainly a guy thing. But, like, on a really hot day...
Well...
Who hasn't put their hand... Now, listen, maybe I'm alone in this.
Right.
Who hasn't put their hand... You know, like, if your balls are really sweating...
Right.
If you've been, playing sports.
Are you talking about enjoying the smell of your own cheese?
Yeah.
I think people do.
What you do is you put your hand down there.
Well, as you do, right?
Yeah, we've all done it.
Yeah. Thank you for admitting that. I know.
It's true.
I know for you more than anybody else it's difficult to admit those things.
I do everything that's gross.
You know what I like to occasionally, like if I've gone a day without showering, I like to rub behind my ear. And smell.
Hmm. Okay, so...
Because that's where I get kind of a cheesy odor.
I'll have to try that hot spot.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So that's my theory on
Rosie. Might even be there when you shower.
That's my theory on Rosie as to why she has athlete's foot on her upper lip.
What they did is
smelling it.
What they did is she says, doesn't everybody have athlete's nose once in a while? Come on, get a close-up. Well, they got a close-up without her knowledge. And you hear the audience start to laugh because they get an incredible tight shot of this little piglet nose that she has to start with. And what you see is not only... I really had trouble focusing on the nostril because what you could see was the... makeup covering her mustache.
Oh.
And really, I mean, she had the kind of mustache where if you kissed her, you'd probably cut your lip.
God damn.
Cesar Romero.
Rosie O'Donnell. Hello, here's Dustin in Salt Lake City. Hi, Dustin.
How you doing, Don?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I heard athlete's nose is a huge problem with the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, okay. Sure. All right, gotcha. Hello, Eric. Eric, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you if Mike, when he was talking to Lisa, if you ever asked if he liked if she liked Huey Lewis in the news.
It was close to it.
Do you like Huey Lewis
in the news?
Didn't get that far.
Do you like Phil Collins?
Mike didn't have on that see-through plastic raincoat last night.
Don't just look at it, Lisa. Eat it.
Hello, Mary. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Radio gods.
Hi, honey.
I have a more reasonable explanation for the athlete's nose with Rosie.
Sure. What's the more reasonable explanation?
I think perhaps her nose has been buried in an area that is a breeding ground for fungi and yeast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's what Rob was alluding to as well.
Sure.
Perhaps she's got that from feasting on the yeast.
Yeah, she's making she's smelling the biscuits.
Okay. Oh. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Smelling the man.
Bye-bye. Smelling the man in the boat.
Ahoy. Right.
Getting deep into the yeast.
I myself like the thought best that she's just scratching her feet and then smelling her fingers.
No, she's probably down on the Lido deck.
She's not just scratching her feet and smelling. She's probably scratching her feet, biting her nails, picking her nose.
All those things. Sure.
That's probably what it is, picking the nose.
Making her children's breakfast.
Oh, God, that's
gross.
There you
go, kids.
Hello, Todd.
When they zoomed in on her, though, when they got this super close-up and you saw her underneath the makeup, I don't doubt that like they take her into the makeup room and just trowel it on.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Thought it was Joe Montana.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is Richie, Mike. Don?
Yeah, hi, Richie.
Yeah, from the PA. Congratulations last night.
Thank you. Listen, Richie is one of the guys that came down with all the nice stuff for us.
Oh, hi, Richie.
Hey, when you guys walked in, the look of determination to win that match.
Sure.
Unbelievable.
Sure. That's the way we come to play every time.
Uh-huh. I couldn't believe it, and I really enjoyed meeting you. And your fans were terrific. It was, sorry they couldn't get in.
Hey, I know I had a meltdown last night, but do I get the props for the high game last night? Thank you very much.
You carried it. You know, if you turn the cocktail napkin over, you'll actually get to see the scores.
Where's the napkin?
I asked Mike if he was sleepy for carrying the team, because I was just bowling like... I think he had like a 137.
I think it's more like 200.
The official cocktail.
No, hold on. I didn't do bad either. Hold on, let me see.
That's true.
It didn't say you did.
No, hold on, but let me see.
I didn't say you
Rob,
did.
Rob, you make out this chicken scratch.
Johnny Competitory.
Come on.
that's interesting. I say I had the high game of the day. I didn't do bad either.
137, Mike O'Mara. 92, Rob Spiewak. And maybe 117, Don Geronimo. I can't make it out.
About my average.
And then the Cosells, both Cosells bowled 119 and 112, and Wally Sparks, 89.
89, there you go. Mm-hmm. Listen, Richie, thank you for bringing the stuff by.
Yeah. Okay.
And, hats off to all you guys. And Johnny just put on the screen, you can see pictures of us and the Fighting Cosells on WNEW.com.
Do you think he put up both pictures? Because we took two.
That's right. I don't think the second one's going to make it.
Oh, I hope the gay one comes out.
I hope it does.
I don't think the second one.
Put the gay one up.
Because I've seen it, and it's funny.
It is. All right, see you later, Richie.
Okay, guys. Be well.
The pins are beautiful, Richie. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Last call. Hello, Donna, Mike. Thanks for that card. Boy, am I going to try that card out. Hello.
Yo, Sunday, take me home. Yeah, partner.
What is this? Prison call?
Is this a prison call? Hello?
Oh, yeah, that nigga's got a gun to your head in your crib.
That nigga's acting crazy, man.
No life, nigga, man. So what?
Hello?
Hello?
So what?
Hi, what school do you go to? What, are we on some party line or something?
Yo, who that in the background?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hello?
What the heck is that?
Yo.
Hello?
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 How many niggas they calling in the radio station?
Hello?
Hello?
They're gone. I don't know.
Unexplainable phenomenon.
I picked up line number one, and that's what we got.
I was acting crazy now.
All right, let's clear these lines out. Get a call, 100. 877-365-3636.
Wow.
We're from D.C., 202-432-1067, and from New York, 877.
This house is sure gone crazy.
692-1027. It's the melting pot known as the Don and Mike Show.
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, it's a funny kind of a thing, but you know, I feel better after I got all that off my chest. I feel like a load. A load is off my shoulders. You're good. Doc, thank you.
Mr. Beatty, I didn't do anything.
Oh, you did something?
No, I did nothing.
You did something?
I didn't.
The load? Gone. Where is it? Don't know. You're good. Nah. You're good, Doc. You're good. I'm going to begin to touch with you.
Don't, please.
Oh, just one more thing. If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kill you. You understand?
Could we define fag? Because some feelings may come up.
I don't fag you, Doc.
The only cure for syphilis of the anus. The Don and Mike Show.
That's documented, isn't that it?
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're caller 100. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Bill. How you doing?
Hey, Bill, we're doing great. Where are you from?
Oh, Long Island, New York. I was just about to hang up.
Why were you going to hang up?
Well, I figured, you know, the thing is ringing and no one's answering, so.
Well, Bill, you've won.
Well, we don't answer until we go back on the air.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Bill.
Hello, Bill.
It's your lucky day. Bill, you won the two-disc DVD copy of MASH.
Oh, terrific.
Apparently, we have 1 billion copies of this movie.
Right. Well, they're not, you know, I know everyone would like one.
I love MASH. It was a great show.
The original movie, which is better than the TV show.
Yes, it's fantastic.
You got to know that.
Oh, yeah.
And here's a little clip from some of the behind-the-scenes footage that is in the uncut and fully restored version.
Oh, this is great.
Listen to this. It's from MASH.
Grandpa, this banana's fantastic.
There you go. That's from MASH. And your 2D DVD set is courtesy of Fox. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot, man. You guys are great.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Hold on.
Happy New Year.
Same to you. Hold on a second. Now,
Hot Lips.
I got to make a quick call here. But poor Cuddy, honey.
Your wife? Your lovely and talented wife? What's happened to Frida?
Well, I feel bad that I'm not around right now.
A time of crisis, perhaps?
No, not crisis. Hey, Rob, would you dial my phone number?
Did you leave her any food and water when you left the house?
I thought there was some in the cage. I'm pretty sure.
That's good.
I mean, I left...
Did you loosen the restraints?
As much as need be.
Very good.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
She has plenty of room to run and dig?
Got her on a rope in the backyard.
A run.
That's what I said.
A clothesline.
Just like in something about Mary.
That's right.
Let's get a retarded guy and tie him up to a clothesline.
Plenty of room where he can run and dig.
That's
the best line of that movie.
All right, hang on for a
second.
Automobile.
There you go. Hey, I like that. I like Rob screening the calls.
There we go.
How's the mood scene?
Nice.
Okay, good.
She said, hello, my best friend.
Ah, there you go. Hello, hi. Hi, sweetie.
Yeah, hi, sweetheart.
Now, listen, here's the deal. Really, why I feel bad for Frida is that generally we try to do the crappy parenting stuff together.
Right.
I mean, the stuff that you know, that we really don't want to do, we try to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And she got stuck last night with... the duty of the meeting, it was some meeting about college or something like that?
It was just an informational thing about getting ready to choose a college.
Right, for my kid. And what we are discovering with Bart, who, you know, we love with all of our heart, it kind of rhymed. What we're discovering is that while he's a wonderful kid, we love him more than anything, we are reaching the point... We are kind of ready for him to move on.
Looking forward.
You know what I mean? I don't want to sound cold, but
ready for him to go to college.
Yeah, all boys
alone.
All boys and maybe girls are like this. At some point, it just gets to the point where you say, you know, hey, we've done the work. We've been baby stepping.
You're doing the work.
Yeah, and we've kind of decided. You know, we love him, but. We're ready.
Ready for, well, a lot of parents feel that way.
I think it's a natural thing, and that's why God makes it easy for your kid to leave the nest, because when that time comes, you know, you're showing them the door.
What you will do, you're going through what normal parents go through. You will have that feeling up until the, you know, probably 6 months before he's going to go, and then when he does go, you will not only have the trauma of him going, but then it will be a period of adjustment for you two after he leaves, but that's perfectly normal.
No, I don't think so. Right, the way we feel right now,
you're ready to do a dance.
Pretty much, it's going to be party central,
right?
And my poor husband, who is so sweet, because Bart, you know, and this is probably bad parenting in itself, he's been my good friend. I mean, he likes to do a lot of the stuff I like.
You know, Frida has consistently throughout. Bart's going to be 17 next year. She's drug him to all the crap that I would never go to.
That's right. He's not even 17 yet. So you've got about two more years.
We got a year and a half. Now that we're counting, we have less time on our contract with Infinity than we have on our contract with Bart.
Your contract with Bart.
So the deal is,
taking a community college will not be in the works.
No, there'll be no living at home.
No,
no.
No. Not even if he goes to...
And I think that's agreed all around.
Are you encouraging West Coast universities?
Or, say, how about in-state? Is in-state okay?
No. I'll tell you why in-state is okay.
Because it's cheap.
Well, okay, that's the first reason.
I remember that from, 13 years ago.
Right. Virginia Tech is an outstanding school.
So is VCU.
All right. Rob, if Bart goes to VCU, I will kill myself.
Richmond's a fine city.
We might as well go to the 13th grade.
Okay?
Not to slam VCU, but I decided not to go there.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow. So anyway.
I was pleased to get it.
The deal is that, she's got to go to these meetings.
The meetings aren't the problem. It's my escort.
Yeah, it's the fact that Bart is like most kids now. He is an average, almost 17-year-old boy. And in the past, he has, when there's something that I would refuse to do, like go to a museum or go to some dumb lecture or a play, he, for the most part, had always gone with freedom.
He and I used to have a lot in common and be good friends. And my poor husband is so sweet. He said to me last night, look, I'm your friend. I'll go to F&B. Broadway with you if you want. A guy is really going to enjoy it when he calls it effing Broadway.
Effing Broadway, baby.
I talk like that in real life. I got home and I call her up after we had the bowling, and I said, listen, it was great, and I got you the cards, like you can run somebody over and you can get away with it. And,
Rob Banks.
She's she's in the bathtub, and she got a little teary on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's going on? She said, he's just a normal teenage boy, but they're at the meeting. She's going to the meeting.
Right.
And I should have been there, but we were out of town.
Right.
We're going to this meeting to help select a college for our kid because we care. His attitude is he's pissed off that we're there.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
That's a normal kid attitude.
Like, Mom, why do you have to be here?
Right. So Frida says that she's sitting there and Bart's like got his feet up on some chair and he's playing with a phone or something. And we're there. She's there.
It's no big deal. It's just that I'm used to. You raise a kid in for like 15 or years or so, and Bart probably longer than most kids was just nice to me all the day. It was just always my friend and happy, and now I get Mr. Sullen.
I think that Brett Butler once said the reason she didn't have a family was because she wasn't ready for that much ingratitude.
Yeah. And I said,
which I always thought was a pretty good line.
But yeah. I feel like being Joan Collins. No, I mean, not Joan Collins. Who is it?
Joan Rivers?
No.
Joan Crawford.
Joan Embry of the San Diego Zoo.
Joan Crawford.
No fan on the street would treat me like you do.
You know what I said to Frida? I said, get used to, and again, I love my son more than anything. Let me qualify that. And I think he and I have a close, great relationship, but I said to my wife, hey, get used to the indifference that I have felt ever since he got his first pube.
Uh-huh.
I mean, since around that time.
That's basically the attitude, and it's perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you in the room.
It's always, hi, Dad, and I get...
You know that when he gets to college, though, like in his sophomore year, he begins to maybe come around a little bit, and you guys become, normal adults again.
Well, and it's not that things aren't normal. I think he's a normal kid and we're normal parents.
No,
it's
but what I'm saying is that it is normal behavior to consider the parents to be complete dip S's this time.
No, he thinks we're tools. He thinks we're tools.
Well, that's the normal teenager.
He doesn't like the fact that we have rules. Mm-hmm. Apparently, and according to him, every other kid in the world gets to do all the stuff that we won't let him do.
Right.
And, how come when he goes somewhere, how come he has to call us? And, I feel like just... and I.
He's going to be better for it.
You can think I'm a tool. You can think I'm a dick. I find myself saying over and over again, this is my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are my rules.
Yeah, that's right.
And
you guys, you both sound like you're going through a little bit of a guilt deal here. Like you're feeling a little guilty about it.
I don't feel guilty.
No, I don't feel guilty. It's just not easy. It's not easy.
Listen, I don't feel guilty. I feel bad for my wife.
Okay.
My wife had been strung along for whatever reason,
thinking that she was a pal.
Yeah, my son had spared my wife's feelings, whereas two or three years ago, he
bailed on you.
He decided totally not to spare my feelings. It's like, I'm used to when I call home, when I'm on the road or something,
right.
I call home and I go, hey, bud, how you doing? And it's not that things aren't great with us, but I go, how you doing? He goes, fine. I go, anything happened at school I should know about? No. So what's happening? Dad, I'm on the other line.
Right.
You know, I'm used to that now. I just go, okay, love you. Love you. Mom, Dad's on the phone. And then then the click. And she's never received any of that. And now, she's getting her
and
share of that now.
That's just the normal progression of breaking the apron strings. It's just very normal.
Yeah, I know. He's just, he's a kid.
But I'm okay because I've got my best friend there. He's going to go to, you told me go to effing museums and effing Broadway.
That's what I said.
Any hey, Don, place I want to go, you're there with me.
Don Frieda, you want me to talk to him?
Oh, yeah. Hey, please. Why don't you come on over, Mike?
Okay, I'll have a word with the boy. Have a word with the boy.
No, he's a good kid, and
I always have been able to bond with him.
He's a good kid, and we are just counting the days until he goes to college.
So you got a year and a half.
Year and a half. Is that about it, honey? About a year and a half.
That's it, my darling.
And, here's the thing that's a bitch is that, and he's like no different than any other kid. He doesn't appreciate the fact that our vacation schedule, okay? I know a lot of you guys listening, you think we get way too much vacation, but it's tough. We get it. We get like four vacations a year.
Right.
So the next vacation that we're going to take, here's the vacation. We're going to look at colleges.
Fun.
I mean,
Hey, New England.
Yeah. What kind of vacation is that for Frieda and I? Right. We gotta drive across the goddamn country and go to boring colleges.
I could give you a list of colleges where it'd be a wonderful vacation.
Again, VCU comes up
for him.
University of Miami.
And again, the feedback that we get is that. Hey, it's a drag.
UNLV?
It's a drag.
San Diego State?
There you go.
It's a drag that we are taking him to do this. That right. He would rather do it without his parents.
Ah, that's sad. Yeah, of course he would.
And I'm sorry, I'm not going to just give him the
road trip. He's thinking road trip.
I'm not going to give him the keys to the car and say, all right, you want to check out San Diego State? See you in a week, son.
Right.
It ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. So anyway, and, here's another thing. God, I'm getting all this off my chest. It pisses me off.
That's good.
And I don't know how many parents can relate to this. When you walk in a room and he's on AOL and he's got the instant message...